Well, Father, I just thank you. You heard all the amens. And Father God, I read where every time somebody says amen, an angel goes into action. So, Father, I'm just asking right now that your angels come into this room to this day. Let your Holy Spirit be here in all of his fullness. And, Father God, let your fire fall. Let your fire fall upon your people like never before. Father God, we're hungry and we're thirsty for the supernatural. We're hungry and we're thirsty for the harvest of souls to be brought into the house of God. And Father, we just thank you that everything's in your perfect timing. And Father God, we will wait upon you. But we're hoping that you move quickly. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to thank each of you for coming out on Pentecost. It's hot, isn't it? They're saying it's the hottest day of the year. I think, how can they do that? The year hadn't even come yet. But anyhow, this is the hottest day so far of the year, right? But, all right, so like Brother Aaron said, there's a lot of fire going on out there. We just need the Pentecostal fire in the house of God. So we've just come through the season of Pentecost. You don't have that, do you? I forgot to send that to you. Okay, so listen to what I'm saying. We have just come through the season of Pentecost. This Jewish festival is termed the Feast of Weeks, which leads to the day of Pentecost. Pentecost was a celebration of the first fruits of the wheat harvest. You can find that in Exodus 34:22. Now, the festival of Pentecost is a time for Bible-loving, Spirit-led believers to reflect upon God's promise and the renewal of joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. And what's he been talking to us about? Get your joy going. Get your joy going. It should be a time to, Pentecost, it should be a time to celebrate the arrival of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and give honor to God for forming the body of Christ, the church on earth. That's what this day of Pentecost is all about. And now, I can't remember who it was, had a 40-day fast going up to today, and they were believing, and we were all believing that God is going to move in a powerful way today. And today isn't over yet, right? So he still has time to move for us, right? All right, Nancy, let's start what God said. Excuse me. This is what God spoke. Oh, am I not at the right place? Wait, see, I skipped something at the beginning. Let me get where Nancy's at. What's the wealth of the wicked? Okay. God said, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. You got that in your spirit. And the righteous ones are beginning to reap their rewards for their righteous living. All right. My people will see the vaults of heaven open, and they will have favor upon favor heaped upon their heads. Are you listening to what this is what God spoke? Their lives will influence many in their journey here. Now, you have to take this into your spirit, because this is God speaking. No matter where you roam, God says, your influence will reach the multitudes. Don't you sometimes say, do I even have an influence? Because it doesn't seem like you're reaching anything, right? But God says, no matter where you roam, your influence will reach the multitudes. The church is going to shine like never before, and he's been telling us over and over again. Everything, and I mean everything, the Palmer and Cankerworm have stolen from the church will be brought back to its rightful owners. And then let's look at Joel chapter 2, verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and pray. None of us need to eat anymore. We already have, all right? You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. God's promise to us. We're going to be blessed and not cursed. And we don't need to be concerned about what they're saying about the economy. You know, we don't close our eyes to it, but we know that God said when all this stuff comes down, he was going to keep those who were his. And so I'm believing God, he's going to keep me no matter what's going on around about me. God says, what has the enemy stolen from you? Then he says, 100-fold blessing in return. What has the enemy stolen from you? And he's giving you 100-fold blessing in return. He's, as you reach out and receive this marvelous blessing, it shall overflow unto your children, family, and friends. See that? There shall be much rejoicing in the camps, for all will understand what their father is doing for you and to them. You are going to be the conduit to carry the blessings for your family and your friends. Then God says, I am has shown up on the scene, and I am is going to manifest in many glorious ways all the rest of the days of your lives. You see that? You know, once he starts, he's never going to end. Are you really ready to receive Pentecost? Maybe is what the question should be. God says, you will never beg again. I have taken you out of the potter's field, and I have placed you in heavenly places in my kingdom. And in this place, you will receive all the riches of heaven. Everything, and I mean absolutely everything, is yours for the asking. No holds barred. Everything is yours. God is speaking to you. Anything you need, you ask, and it's yours. So I looked up, what is a potter's field that our Father is talking about here? And I found a potter's field is a pauper's grave, or common grave is a place for the burial of unknown, unclaimed, or indignant people. Potter's field is a biblical origin. The priests are stated to have acquired it for the burial of strangers, criminals, and the poor. And what did God say? I've taken you out of the potter's field. All right, with the coins paid to Judas, which was considered blood money, that's why they bought that field. Prior to being used as a burial ground, though, the potter's field, it had been a site where potters collected high-quality, deeply red clay for the production of ceramics, thus the name potter's field. I thought that was sort of interesting, that he's taken us out of all that poverty level. And he says, and I have placed you in heavenly places. I am so excited that we no longer dwell on this earthly realm. We dwell in the spiritual realm. We live here, but our rightful place is the spiritual realm. And from the spiritual realm, God is going to use us to do the great mighty works he needs done in this day and in this hour. And Galatians chapter 4, verse 9 says, tells us, but now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? I wrote that because of what God says next. I put that in there. Children, you are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. You need not heed the backward call of the enemy of your souls. All you need to do is keep marching forward with purpose in your heart and praise on your lips, knowing in complete faith that I am more than able to accomplish all that you say or do. Let's read that again. Children, you are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. A lot of you still don't know that. God said, you need not heed the backward call of the enemy of your souls. In other words, the enemy's trying to draw you back into what God pulled you out of. And he's saying, you don't need to listen to that voice any longer. All you need to do is keep marching forward with purpose in your heart. So you need to have a purpose going, right? In your heart, and praise on your lips, knowing in complete faith that I am more than able to accomplish all that you say and do. All right, so how many of you are still praising? When you're marching around a property, are you still praising? You know, when your car breaks down, are you still praising? Yeah. When your pocketbook's empty, are you still praising? My son-in-law told me yesterday morning, Mom, I hate to give you the bad news, but the washing machine broke. I saw him. No. He said, won't put any water in it. I said to my daughter, I said, well, we have to go and get a new washing machine. So we went and bought a new washing machine. It's going to be delivered on the 27th. So this morning I went down to get my clothes. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to try this washing machine. It works. I don't know why it wouldn't work for him, but it works. And so he heard me in there fooling around. He came out of the kitchen. He said, is the washing machine working? I said, yeah. I'm still praising him. I'm really not upset about it. You know, this is my fault. I should have went and checked it, right? How many of you do that? Somebody tells you something, you just believe what they say, right? Every time the devil whispers in your ear, you believe what he says. And you don't go check anything else. Where am I at? Exodus 23:20. Behold, I sent an angel before you, to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. In other words, listen to what the angel says and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. See what God says? Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Do you believe that? Oh, yeah. Neil does. Do you believe that? Yeah. Then God said, beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. We have nothing to fear. God has us covered going in and going out. He has us covered from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. And we don't need to be upset about things. We just need to rejoice in the Lord our God. Amen? Well, let's get back to the washing machine. They said, are you gonna cancel the washing machine? I said, I don't think so. And I'm going to tell you why, because God wants me to give that one that we thought was broke and bless somebody with it. So, you know, somebody's going to get a blessing out of this. And this is the way God works. It doesn't matter what happens to you. God turns it around for your good. And then you're supposed to be a blessing to others, right? And we're not supposed to heap things onto ourselves, but we are to share everything that we have. Now, God went on to say the days of Jubilee are upon you. Do you believe? How many years has God been saying this is the year of Jubilee? And God said Jubilee happens when you can believe for it. So God is saying right now, the days of Jubilee are upon you, and you should rejoice like never before. Do you really believe that the day of Jubilee is on you? I know Nancy Connell does, because she just, you know, when she writes me an email, she about bubbles out through the email. She's so excited about what God is doing. Now, God said, you shall run through troops and scale walls of adversity like never before. You have the enemy on the run, and you're going to keep him there. There is no time to go back and look him up. We have so much ahead of us, and time is running out. And Psalm 18:29 says, For in you I can charge an army, and with my God I can scale a wall. With your help I can advance against a troop. With my God I can scale a wall. That was a psalmist that said that. But God said, you shall run through troops and scale walls of adversity like never before. In other words, we're going to defeat everything that comes against us. You have the enemy on the run, and you are going to keep him there. Are you listening? Yes. He's not going to come back and torment and haunt you. There is no time to go back and look him up. I think sometimes some of you say, hey, devil, you still remember me? Remember how good I was for you? This is Aaron calling, devil. You see what I'm saying? We have so much ahead of us and time is running out. Then God said, my children should go forth singing. And this is what you're supposed to be singing. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Pentecost has come upon you, and it shall overtake you on all sides. Every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob shall be upon you from this day forward. It's God's promise to you people sitting in here this morning. Every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob shall be upon you from this day forward. This God said this supernatural power will bring in the largest harvest of souls in church history. With this supernatural power, you will overcome every obstacle Satan places in your path. You will no longer need to wonder what if, for you will know that all things are possible from this day forth. And there, I believe that that's how God is going to start the harvest, bringing the harvest in. And I think that's how he's going to start the signs, wonders, and miracles. Because he said, for you will know what that all things are possible from this day forth. If anybody says anything negative around about you, just put your hand over the mouth. And say, this is the day the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. The enemy has had a field day with the body of Christ way too long. And it is, don't you think it's time the body of Christ just buckles up there and just said, devil, you're not coming one inch closer to me. You are finished in my life. And mean it. A lot of you have said it over and over and over again. But you really didn't mean it. And the devil knows when you're mean business. He really does. Come on. No more defeat. Total victory. All right. Why is Pentecost important? Pentecost is important today because it's a fulfillment for every believer to receive power, a supernatural power to face every storm, sorrow, and situation that may happen in life. Let's go back and read where God said this supernatural power will bring in the largest harvest of souls in church history. So Pentecost has given us a supernatural power to face every storm, sorrow, and situation that may happen in life. You know, we don't have fire dancing on our head, but we do have the Holy Spirit deep within us, embedded in us in our spirit man. And it's the Holy Spirit that's leading, guiding, and directing us. And we should be one rejoicing bunch of people. Come on. This transaction that has been waiting to be birthed from very little power to the greatest power source available has finally been birthed. Read that again. This is God speaking. This transaction that has been waiting to be birthed from very little power to the greatest power source available has finally been birthed. And now a new transaction is occurring. The beginning of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Come on. God said it has been birthed. And you ladies that have given birth, you know that once it's birthed, it's no longer in, it's out. You know? It's been birthed. And the beginning of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, the marriage supper of the Lamb is a symbolic representation of the joyful, intimate, and eternal fellowship that takes place between Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and His bride, the church. Let's look at Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. In Matthew 22, verse 8, Jesus said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. Now, we know there's been a great shaking in the church, and we know that God has been shaking out all the tear. And those are the ones that were not ready. Now God is saying, go into the highways and byways and compel the harvest to come in. And this is where we're at right now. Well, that's what verse 9 says. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. We're going to have a whole lot of bad in this harvest. But this is why God has given us that supernatural power that the enemy's going to have to flee. I was driving down here this morning, I was thinking about when God first called me. And I would just go and start talking to somebody, and I didn't know about deliverance then, and all of a sudden they'd be puking up green slime, and I didn't even do deliverance. I just sat down in front of them. And then whenever we open up the church, people walk in and the devil started carrying on, and we do deliverance and then do the service. And I said, God, we need that now. We're on a new 40-year dispensation. We need it right now. That no, whoever walks through the door and they have a demon in them, that demon's going to want to go. It's not going to want to stay in the presence of the Almighty God. And see, if we just believe what God is even saying here this morning, we have that power in us for this to happen. And I'm reading all over the place where people are just getting, you know, who are drug addicts or alcoholics or whatever, just boom, just like that, God's setting them free. We need that in the house of God here in Delaware. We need that in our workplace. As you walk into a workplace, the power of God is so powerful in you that them devils is going to jump out of those people. Are you understanding this? And that we ourselves are going to quit giving into the temptations to come our way. Because it'd be so much of Jesus in us, the Holy Spirit in us, that the devil's not going to want to abide in our temples, right? Let's not give the devil any more place. God said, I have been gathering my bride from the four corners of the earth. The bride is ready to fight to the very end. I know you guys are. You've really gotten your little hair all bristled up the back of your neck, and you're just upset with the devil. Amen. All right, this bride, they have purposed to gather in the end time harvest before the great marriage supper begins. The bride has been trained in the latest heavenly combat, and they know how to fight to win. You guys have been going under some very strenuous battle, God's been training you how to fight from the heavenly realm, and he's been training you that you won't lose ever again. You know, when we was trying to fight in this fleshly earthly realm, we lost a lot of battles, but now God taught us how to go into the heavenlies and fight. And this is what the courtroom books and everything are all about. It's all about teaching us how to go to the courtroom, really and truly. Once you really see what the Word of God said, he talks about the courts quite a bit. And now is the time when God, it's been about a year, maybe two, where God now wants to bring that information into the body of Christ so we had to know how to fight properly. Now, Brother Brett wrote a new book. I advise everybody to buy the book. It's really, truly a super good book. He sent it to me last night, and he asked me to proof it, so do whatever to it. And I started reading it, and I couldn't put the thing down. Well, it was on my computer, but I thought, I read the first four chapters. I said, I got to go to bed. But I really advise everybody to buy the book. It's a tremendous book. A lot of good information in there for people in this end time hour. See how God's using these books right now when they're needed? All right, so this bride has purpose to gather in the end time harvest before the great marriage supper begins. The bride has been trained in the latest heavenly combat, and they know how to fight to win. they will stand victorious. See that? And all will know they are mine. You have been taught everything that you need to harvest those souls. You will do great and mighty exploits for a great and mighty king. I love each of you desperately and completely. I want to stop there for a second. I was thinking about Jewish people. I was watching Sid Roth. You know what? You Jewish people all look the same. You men, you do. I was reading an article, and it was two men there, and I thought that looked like Alan sitting there. And you know, and like Neil. Y'all have that there's a certain look about you. We're children of God. Do you carry yourself that way? Yeah. You're more than conquerors. I got a little bit envious. I said, God, you made all them men look alike. Here we are. We all look like a little bit of this, a little bit of that. God is in control of all things. How many have been praying for the war that's going on over in Israel? How many know that if we don't pray, we're in a lot of trouble? God doesn't want anybody to touch the apple of his eye. I wouldn't touch Alan and Neil for nothing. Them little two little guys, they got themselves a good thing going. They're God's chosen people. I'm sorry for all the bad thoughts I thought about you. I didn't know he was Jewish until, you know, not too long ago. Come on. It's time we learn to laugh in the house of God. It's time we learn that God is in control of all things. It's also time that we should learn to laugh at ourselves at home, you know, in town, in our cars or wherever. It's time we start being straight-laced and ignorant and angry all the time. It's time that the joy of the Lord comes up inside of us and we start enjoying life to its fullest. You know, one day when you die and you sit in heaven or hell, you're going to say, why didn't I live more? You know, God told me, I want you to start living. I think we taught about that, didn't we? You know, so he wants us to live. He wants people to see how happy we can be serving God. So far, all they've ever seen is downtrodden Christians, poor, beggarly Christians, you know, always complaining, never having anything. And God wants to turn the tide. He wants us to walk in the power and authority that he's given us through Christ Jesus. He wants us to stand our ground. Instead of allowing the enemy to keep taking ground, stand your ground. I love that story about the pea field. That guy said, you're not taking my pea field, not one more time. Remember, every year they come and he took his pea field from him. And he said, I'm done. When I read that story, as I said about my family, you're not having my family. You've done all you're going to do. Well, he did a little bit more, but he's still not going to have my family. You know what I'm saying? He's going to say, oh, okay, so you're not going to let me have your family. I'm going to show you. Well, you can show me all you want to show me, but you're still not having my family. You don't have them. You're just tormenting them really good. You're not going to have my brothers and sisters in Christ either. You see what I'm saying here? You know, I'm hearing God say, put your finger on the go button and go for it all the way. And don't ever turn around and don't ever stop. Just go for it. And he's saying, win the loss at any cost. So how many of you are ready to put your finger on the go button? Yes. Put that last paragraph back up, would you please, Nancy? You know, God said, the bride has been trained in the latest heavenly combat, and they know how to fight to win. They will stand victorious, and all will know they are mine. You have been taught everything that you need to harvest those souls. You will do great and mighty exploits for a great and mighty king. I love each of you desperately and completely. Do you really believe that? Okay, so Neil, you have a happy marriage. You can say yep, 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 yep to everything. But you know, when you're not so happy in your home life, it's really, you know, it really takes everything you have to say yep, yep, yep about everything, doesn't it? You know, you just have to keep making yourself say yes. You have to keep making yourself say, devil, you're a liar. And I don't believe what I see. I just believe what God has told me. Are you hearing me here? You know, see, it's easy to be happy when you have a good marriage. It's easy to be happy when your kids are just little jewels. But it really is trying, you know, when just the opposite is happening. And, you know, you really have to make yourself believe that God is God and He is real and the devil is a liar. You know, let's face it, we live in a twisted world. And right now the kids are twisted. And, you know, and it's a shame. And I would, Bob Jones's wife, I was listening to her, somebody sent me her video, and she was saying that God told her it's going to be the young people that's going to be leading, you know, will be the leaders in the church, the young people, not the older people. The older people is going to be there too. And we know this, to guide the young people, but it's the young people that God is calling into the house of God. And He's training them up to use them in this end time hour. So let's not be putting our young people in a hole somewhere. Let's not be throwing them out on the streets. Let's teach them what Christ is all about. And, you know, they're going to make their choices. But that doesn't mean you quit loving them. You keep loving them even in their mess. Somebody loved you in your mess, I can guarantee you. Amen. Come on, we weren't all perfect like we are today. We all had our problems, didn't we? So how about you today? It's Pentecost. Are you going to show your family what Pentecost is all about? Are you going to show them the joy of the Lord and to show them you have the power and authority over the devil no matter what's going on around about? And your friends too? Or are you going to go home with a long face and being angry and grumpy and carrying on like a fool? And why would they want your Pentecost? Right? I really was hoping God would just show us some fire in here today. But He didn't yet, that I could see. Remember when the days of old, which I'm not supposed to go back to, people used to see the fire on the roof. And that's what drew them to the building. And I said, God, I can't. You remember, you always said, don't go back on what you used to have, because what I'm taking you into is so much greater. So I can't go back and want that, but I would like to see something. Each one of you should be thinking that about your own life. God, what I had was really good, and you don't want me to go back there anymore, but I would really like you to give me something even greater today. You know, I'm tired of this. I know all this other stuff already. It's mundane now. Now I want to go into the supernatural. I want to go into the, you know, the power and the authority and watch the enemy flee on all sides. Come on. It's time we rise up as a body of Christ and we be a witness to a lost and dying world. And I'm sorry, but the church, you backslid as many times as you can backslide. I think, you know, I would really be watching myself very carefully about backsliding, because God is finished with that. And you have no excuses when you stand before God while you keep backsliding. He's made a way of escape, and He wants us to walk in that way of escape. God told me last night, He said, the hour is late, and I need my work done now. And, you know, we are going into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And God told us when this 40-year dispensation started that we were preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus. And this is what the marriage supper of the Lamb is all about. So are you really preparing for the second coming of Jesus? When God called me in 1980, you know, He told me, He said, you are living in the days of Noah. And I was reading something about, somebody wrote about, oh, in your book about the days of Noah. And, you know, and it made me think about what God said. So, you know what happened in the days of Noah. And I think Brett wrote that in his book. But if you look around about you, it's going on. Everything's wicked and evil. I mean, you know, there's very few even standing behind the pulpits that's living a godly life. There's very few. And you know what, guys, you guys who know the truth, you need to start setting some pastors free, telling them, you know, what you're doing is not right. Because God's word says we have to do that. If we don't, then their blood is on our hands. And, you know, we don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers, so we let them go ahead and, you know, keep doing what they're doing in their sin nature, thinking somebody else will have to tell them, well, you know, you might be the somebody else that God has showed it to, and you or be that you have to, and you're the somebody else that God wants to use. So you lose popularity with them. Hey, look at Jesus. You know, he didn't care if he was popular or not. He just told them the way it was. So why don't you just tell people the way it is? You know, you can't go to heaven living like you're living. They just can't. And, you know, Neil always sends his email out, and I read it. And I think, you know, this is somebody that's out there really doing a work for God. But I don't see very many other people doing that work for God like that. You know, I've known Neil for a while now, and I know when I first met him and what he is today. And he always loved the Lord and everything, but he's really on fire for God today. He's really on fire for God. And I wish that everybody would be on fire for God. You know, and, it, you know, come on, step out there by faith. God says, step out there by faith. Take a chance. He's not going to let you fall totally through the hole. He won't. He'll catch you. He'll catch you. He just tells you, whatever you place your hand to do, I'll be there with you to do it. And so that means that you step out there in faith and start something. You know, if he's called you to do it, and you step out there in faith, somebody said, when should I do it? And, well, you know, is this the right time, that the right time? Well, only you and God know that. And you'll know that as you step out there in faith and you sort of fall on your face, you know, well, this wasn't quite the right time. But at least you tried it. And you just don't know what God's going to do when you step out there in faith to do it. I stepped out in faith and did what God called me to do. And I was honest and said, I don't know how to do this. He said, my Holy Spirit will teach you. And he was always with me. And he wants you to do the very same thing. He wants you to step out by faith and just do. He told us that. Just do. Just do. And some of us have to begin in our homes. You know, by faith, do things in our home. The body of Christ, because God dealt with me about this about 4 o'clock this morning, the body of Christ has to be very careful what they're doing, because some think they're going to be in heaven and they're not. And he said, you have to watch your love walk. You have to watch your attitudes. He said, you have to watch your grace that you're pouring out in other people. He said, all those things, even I don't care what you do for him. You know, God said, I don't care what you do for me. If you don't have all these things in line, you're going to miss out. And, you know, even though God said, you know, that he's shaking the church, this church, and that we're all just fine, he also said to me, because he told us that, some have left down their guard and they're no longer just fine. So if you've left down your guard, get your guard back up again. You don't want to be sitting on the sidelines when the glory comes through. I'm just hearing, and I can see it a train. He's just going to come through like a freight train, and all's going to know that my glory has come. And I actually see that train and the smoke going over the top of it, you know. So God's getting ready to move. Final thrust. I'm hearing final thrust. Are you ready to move with him? Come on, are you really ready to move with him? Don't fool yourselves. You know, if there's things in your life that aren't right, take them to God. He understands us. Take them to God and talk to God about them and let him take care of them. I can guarantee you I fail every day, at least one time a day. You know, I said last night, I said, God, I like to live by myself. He said, you wouldn't be any good to me. You know? In other words, who am I going to witness to? You know, so we have to put up with what's around about us, be a witness, and God will strengthen us and he'll bring us through. So if you're trying to crawl in a corner and hide, that's not what God wants you to do. And see, I know you're not like me, but I said to God last night, I said, you know, God, if I, you know, I have children that I've got to raise and I don't have as much time to study your word, and he said, just be quiet. They were excuses. You know, he'll tell me what I need to know. He'll do for me what needs to be done. I have to be about the Father's business. How about you? What kind of excuses are you giving God because you don't do what you're supposed to do? Right? God said that he's going to give you supernatural power today on Pentecost. Isn't that what we just read? And this is what he wants to do. I'm hearing him say he wants to drop a fire on you that the enemy cannot ever put out ever again. He's saying that he's placed a fire on some of you before and you've let it go out. And you don't really have the power you need to fulfill your calling that he has in your life, your commission. But today he would like to give you that fire back with the supernatural power in it. And this time you won't allow the enemy to ever quench it ever again. The glory just fell, so the altar is open. And if you want this, then God's ready to give you that new fire with supernatural power in it.